Please don't eat me, I'm sweet and delicious. All these boys and girls running around my kitchen, having a good time.
Having a good time.
And Mama Coco's fucking kitchen.
I tell you what, Jimmy, I fucking do like the program, okay? And I am gonna tune back in, so don't tell me what to do or how to do it. I've been doing this for 60 years. I've been doing this as long as I've been smoking stogies, okay? So you don't need to tell me shit.
Hello, Radio Land. It's the Mama Coco's Funky Kitchen radio show. And we are on the air with Jamie, Jim, Chad Bourne, Oliver, and hopefully some special guests.
I thought that we agreed that we never, ever have to hear the Mama Coco's.
I like
theme
that
song.
That's just you. Okay,
is it really just me?
I'm
you guys really want to hear that ever again?
I like that song.
I don't know, man.
I'm split down the middle, personally.
Then you write a new theme song, and then we'll use your theme song.
We've tried.
Give me 3 minutes.
Hey, last week we didn't have a show. We had some technical difficulties, but we had a special guest in the studio.
We were supposed to.
And we weren't on the air, so we couldn't play. So we our apologies go out to Mr. Sam Davison. This entire show is dedicated. This one's for you, Sam.
Yeah, a couple of cases we've actually talked about Sam Davison a little.
Sam, we got here and there was nobody here home at Heritage Radio, and Sam was upset.
If he was here now,
that was my fault.
If he was here now, you know what he'd say?
What was that, Jim?
It's time to die. Yes, I know you are surprised that I would come to break the news. It's time to die. So let's go, let's not waste time. So won't you come and take my hand? First your family will know, then your friends will be informed. Oh, they'll plan your funeral. Now don't you cry, everybody has their time, and now your time has come so soon. It's time, I'm sure. Yes, it may be premature. Now why would I ever lie to you? I'm just a simple type of bloke. At my side, I'm a skeleton inside. Everybody knows my name, but I'm not the one to blame. You should have been more careful, but now it's too late. Say bye-bye, it's time to go.
Sam Davison, woo!
Ooh, you know, I thought that would never end.
That's a long tune. So, We're sitting here, you know, we got this window, and there's a table right next to the window. So we always have this weird experience where as we're doing the show, people are eating. And
at Roberta's woman, Pizzeria, best at, pizza in Brooklyn.
Yeah. Don't quote me on that. But so this woman's eating this dish, and it's iceberg lettuce, but that's it. It seems there's maybe some Parmesan flakes on it, but there's a little cup of capers, and she just keeps dumping the capers all over the lettuce. This is really, it's a new world out there for food.
That lettuce does look crunchy, though.
No, it looks really good. I ultimately want the dish. It's a weird, but I'm not sure what it is.
Like, if it came down to it,
it's the hipster low-fat diet.
It's not like a salad, exactly.
Lettuce and capers.
It's very broken down.
But I did, I'll tell you that. I did actually eat a meal in the restaurant here.
Oh.
Last week, for the first time.
Well, we're going to have...
Even though we're here all the time.
We're going to have dinner after. That's like the reason we're here.
It was on a date, too. How'd the date go?
The date went well.
It
turns out Roberta's is a good date spot.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you heard, Jim got his tax return. So he's taking us out to dinner. I don't know if you were maybe not invited.
Oh, no, actually, now I remember. That is awesome. We'll be dining tonight in style at Roberta's. When I walked in today, they were playing a wonderful song of my youth, No Rain by Blind Melon.
Oh, a classic song.
Phenomenal tune.
When we walked into Jane Says.
Oh, nice.
I'm done with Sergio.
I love Jane's Addiction.
Do you really?
Yes, I've seen them live several times.
Just for the record, I hate 90s classical rock.
Classical.
Classical rock. Interesting wording, like, Jimmy.
Classic rock from the 90s.
Jane's Addiction rule.
Is that classic rock?
You guys are wrong. This always happens to me. This is like every conversation.
You're wrong.
Jane's Addiction was the Doors of the 90s.
The Doors are awesome.
What does that even mean?
That's a compliment.
What does that even mean? Did they wear leather pants?
Well, yeah, they're like arty LA people. They did wear leather pants. Perry Farrell would have like a boa.
Who?
Perry Farrell, he's the singer from Jane's Addiction. I'm going to give you a history lesson here. Jane's Addiction.
Do they have
1987. Ideas?
Perry Farrell started Lollapalooza basically as the Jane's Addiction farewell tour. Then Lollapalooza went on forever and Jane's Addiction never broke up. So
they broke up.
Well, they still play out, don't they? Sometimes.
No, they do a reunion every once in a while. Yeah. Every time their stock is a little bit less.
Every time there's money to be
had.
I
have a question.
Yeah.
Who cares?
See, Chad, like, this shows you how wrong you are. Because even though Jim doesn't like Jim's Addiction, he's going to agree with me that not this generation, but generations previous, take Jim's Addiction pretty seriously as an important and influential and kind of very edgy band.
Don't they have that? The only other song they have is like the one where it's like, coming round the mountain.
The mountain song from fucking Nothing Shocking.
Oh, whatever.
You're going to make fun of that.
Hero.
Give me a fucking break.
Been caught stealing.
With your Kanye
awesome.
West and your Drake. Uptown Funk.
When did I say anything about any of those things? It's not you.
It's your generation,
all,
Chad.
All overrated bands have that one song called The Mountain Song. Led Zeppelin, Jane's Addiction.
That song is called The Immigrant Song.
Zeppelin didn't have a mountain song. Immigrant Song is a good-ass song.
And I would say that Led Zeppelin are probably the most fairly rated band of all time.
Most fairly rated?
They're rated exactly fairly. No one says they're better than the Beatles, and they're not.
Yeah, but they're like the greatest like rock.
They're the
band
greatest stupid band. They're the best dumb band.
I think they have
ever.
They have like an insanely good appreciation and following, but there's also a huge contingent of people who like shit on them all the time.
Yeah, but that's kind of fair because they are kind of dumb as hell.
True, but I think the most important thing to recognize is that Jimmy Page absolutely is like just fucking like, you know, peerless as a musician. When it comes down to it, there is no other Jimmy Page.
However, when it comes to flying gig to gig in your very own private Super 747
with your shirts unbuttoned,
loaded with mountains of cocaine,
and
there was nobody better than
Led Zeppelin. I mean, they also would carry around like suitcases full of like torture devices, like, because apparently they would get like kinky as fuck with the
well, there's the shark incident.
The what?
The shark incident.
What is that? Is this an anecdote?
Yeah, there's a Led Zeppelin story about...
Let's hear a Zeppelin anecdote.
In a line or two,
okay.
There is a fabled tale in the Riot House, the Hyatt House, the hotel in Sunset Strip, where they had a woman and someone had a baby shark and a woman let them, let the members, not the members of Led Zeppelin, but their manager, Peter Grant, John Bonham, and a room full of onlookers let them penetrate her.
With a baby shark?
With a baby shark.
That really happened?
Jack, you know what I'm talking about, right? The shark incident?
Yes.
See? It's the Jack Inslee, our producer, confirms.
It's our omnipotent producer, Jack Inslee.
Omnipotent. Omnipotent indeed.
We better hear some music also, and fast.
The movie Almost Famous was based on Cameron Crowe's experience as a teenaged correspondent for Rolling Stone magazine flying on the Led Zeppelin jet. Part of his musical education, which I don't have to add, was a bad education.
Is that what we're going to hear? Okay, Kitty Bones, baby.
Now they're just called Skinny Bones. They'll be at the next Mama Coco's Funky Kitchen show on May 1st.
There was a lawsuit and they had to get rid of the doctor. They weren't actually doctors and it was messy. It really was messy.
It was, yeah.
I feel
it was
bad for those guys.
The AMA came after them and it was...
So you gotta have a doctor in the band
to actually call
if you want to be Dr. Skinny Bones. Otherwise, you're just Skinny Bones.
I wouldn't have thought
They're like, don't disrespect what we do.
Don't fuck it.
Unless, the only person who ever got away with that was Hunter Thompson.
Right.
Well,
or Dr. Doom. I don't know if he was a real doctor.
Dr. Doom?
Well, Dr. Doom probably had a PhD in something.
Well, I guess he was a tyrant of the country. If
he had a PhD in evil.
Victor Von Doom.
Plus, he owned his own country, so, you know.
Yeah.
But Dr. Hunter H. Thompson wasn't actually a doctor. He just used that name. And and Dr. Frank from the Mr. T Experience.
And George Clinton. He actually does have a PhD in funk, so he is Dr. Funk.
Oh, okay. Dr. Funk is
He actually, he went to Los Angeles School of Funk, and he has a PhD in funk. Yeah.
Yeah, I always, like, a lot of times when I am trying to promote a show that, like, you know how promoting shows really starts because it's kind of like, well, nobody cares. You know, so what I'll do is I'll announce the show by being like, oh my God, I just saw George Clinton on 6th Ave. I've used this line more than 3 times, like, really. And it kind of works because people, like, they're like, oh my God, George Clinton. Because this is not unheard of. You know, people see George Clinton around New York City. And then I'll, like, as it goes on, it'll be more and more ridiculous. I'll be like, I saw George Clinton on 6th Ave. He was wearing a Tap Out shirt, and he shook my hand or something. You know what I mean? And by the end of it, it's like, by the way, also, you know, maybe you want to tack on this little plug about a show that we're having. But
I was once on the A train, and there was a gentleman hanging over me who looked like he kind of needed a seat. And I looked up, and it was Tony Danza.
Are you shitting me?
Did Tony Danza rip the seat out of the subway car, turn it upside down, and sit on it like that, turn it backwards?
No,
I kind of need a seat.
I was gonna say, Mr. Danza, do you want this seat? Because we all know who's the boss. He gave me this look like
I'm gonna wreck you right now.
The funny thing was, I made eye contact with him, and he gave me this look that communicated. I know you know who I am, but don't say anything in a crowded subway car. So I just shook my head and smiled at him. So
I've heard that
that was my life with Tony Danza.
I've heard that he has a contract with any acting that he does, that the character, no matter what the scenario is, his name must be Tony.
Really?
Yeah, he'll only play Tonys. He won't play a Steve or a Dan or anything like that.
I'll give it to him. That's true to, you know, if that's who he wants to be, I think.
He's Tony.
Yeah, he's Tony. He's a Tony guy.
I love Tony Dan. You know when Tupac Shakur got arrested? He got all these, you know, everyone's reaching out to him.
Yeah.
And he was like, he said in the documentary or whatever, he said, you know, I heard from Madonna, I heard from, like, you know, all my peers in hip-hop. He said, the thing that meant the most to me was I got a letter from my favorite actor of all time, Tony Danza.
Tupac Shakur said that?
Yeah, Tupac said that.
I thought he didn't like white people.
He loves Tony. No, Tupac Shakur, that's such bullshit. Tupac Shakur went to, like, the equivalent of LaGuardia High School with a bunch of, like, white theater. He was, like, an actor. He was a theater kid. And his image is a
And he really likes totally Tony Danza.
And he loves Tony Danza, yeah. And why not?
Okay, what was Tony Danza in? Honestly, I'm just like...
Oh my God, Chad. Okay, so Taxi.
Okay.
Never seen it?
No.
He plays a boxer named Tony.
Taxi Driver? Also,
yeah.
No, the show Taxi.
Oh.
DeVito.
With Judd Hirsch.
Andy Kaufman.
And Danny DeVito.
Okay.
Andy Kaufman.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Well, it's from the 70s.
Yeah, but, you know...
Chad's mother wasn't born yet.
I'm like 6 years
old.
Something.
Don't fucking talk about my mother to me. I swear to God.
And then Who's the Boss?
Who's the Boss was another show.
Okay.
Where he played a male nanny.
Okay.
And it was confusing who the boss of the house was.
Right.
Okay.
Alyssa Milano was the girl he took care of.
Was that
his daughter?
Yeah, no, that was his daughter. Yeah,
yeah, and then there was the mother had a little boy.
Yeah.
Judith Light.
And then also Mona... There was a really horny mom character, the lady's mom, Mona, lived with them, and she was like a horny old lady.
Uh-huh.
It was a good show, man.
Yeah.
You know, Netflix it.
And then he went on Broadway singing and dancing and tap dancing and stuff.
See, that's why I feel like I've seen him on Subway ads. I'm like, Tony Danza. I'm like, that guy looks like a herb.
He's a... song and dance. Well, he's on Broadway right now, right? He's in a musical right now.
I heard it's real bad. Yeah.
No, you know what?
He plays a guy named Tony, singing Tony.
Last time we were at the show, one of the last times, we had Jamie doing some impressions. We had you do Nicholson. We had you do fucking DeVito. Now I'm just like trying to come up with some impressions. Like the dance you did a second ago was good. I don't even know who this guy really is, but it was entertaining to me. I'm thinking maybe could you do can you do Walkin'?
Oh,
I mean, everyone's got a walk-in.
I was.
What's a good impression that you
got? I was at a bar like 2 days ago, and we were having a walk-in. I held this watch in my ass.
Oh, yeah.
For 16 years.
Wait, that's Pulp Fiction, right?
Yeah.
The only impression I do is Apu from The Simpsons.
All right, let's hear it.
Oh, Homer, I do not know why you come to the Quickie Mart.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jack.
I'm giving that one the applause. That was
some real gold radio here.
I like that.
My impressions can you do?
What I want to know, Chad's former band is recording their farewell EP, and yeah. I heard you had a string quintet in the studio.
A string quintet.
In
that's
Mama
correct.
Coco's Funky Kitchen.
Yeah, my friend Lily Gist, the cellist, was in.
Oh, was she?
Yeah.
No, you know what? It's funny. I wasn't there. I was called into overnights at my job, so I had to. I was, you know, there was an extension of my will being exercised, you know, over like the phone. But they went in, they banged it out. We paid the people.
Did someone actually write a string arrangement? Or?
Oliver did, yeah. You know, Mr. Mama Coco's, he was able to write a string arrangement.
Mr. Mama.
He, you know, Oliver is definitely a tremendous piano player. He was able to, you know, really get some shit figured out. So, let me tell you, this shit's going to drop very soon, and it's going to be that hot fire, you know?
There's a lot of... Well, he didn't show up tonight. He was supposed to, but the Dan McLean Family Band.
That's an awful name, don't you think?
Yes, but they have an EP that I've heard in advance of.
I heard it as well, and it is delightful.
It is delightful, yes. I heard it as well. Were you guys part of the focus group?
Yes.
Oh, yes, okay.
Yes.
Let me ask you guys, since we're on the air, did you pick the first song?
No, I picked the second song.
I thought the third. Oh, we all picked a different
song. I picked the first. Oh, ooh,
as far as commercial, this is really not interesting for people outside the focus group.
No.
But we were tasked with picking which song was the best. I said, surely the first song.
Yeah.
And it appears that we've come to a bit of a snafu.
Yeah, well, so basically it was a useless focus group.
Useless. Yeah. There was no focus to the group.
Well, opinions are like buttholes. Everybody has one.
Buttholes.
Yeah. You really could have said a lot of things.
No, it's so much funny if you say buttholes.
I don't like to curse on the radio.
Okay.
Well, fuck.
So we're going to play a song, and then we're going to come back and do some live music in the studio.
Boing.
Ooh, boing.
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 What kind of cunt business is that?
Just to make sure that whatever we do in the studio can't compare, I'm going to play Mothers and, like, rock the fuck out.
Okay.
Mothers. Mother, tell your children not to listen to this band.
Oh, Saturdays I'll never stop. Saturdays I'll never stop.
Just another brick in the wall.
Alright, you want to introduce me, Jamie?
Sure.
Boing.
Wow, boing. What a good song, boing. All right, well, Radioland, we've got a musical guest out here for you. We got a few musical guests, in fact. This one is, he's the leader of the Graveyard Kids, the near-defunct, not defunct yet, but near-defunct Graveyard Kid.
I'm not dead yet.
And he's going to share with us a mid-period tune from this band. How long were you guys together?
Approximately 3 to 4 years.
Maybe. Three to four years is enough to have a mid-period.
Mid-period. This is
I'll give you that. Mid-period Graveyard Kids. Take us back in time. Take us back in time to when you wrote the song.
Thanks for that lovely introduction, Jamie. Really, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
The song's called No Crayo. Thank you. Thanks for listening.
The exit sign, I swear I saw him. For one brief moment before he turned away. Figure dressed in black, glanced up from the tracks, and the whole world held its breath. Well, I don't know exactly what was standing there. Or maybe it never really happened. Well, yo no creo, no. Well, that would put the fear of death in me, I know. The 168th is a crypt, I say, where the greenish glow makes the pillars sway. There's a dark-skinned girl who sings. Pigeons flap their wings round the ceiling hole. They dive and wheel, and the girl just disappears. Well, I listen close to every word she said. After all, it was a doe-eyed girl that stayed Cortez. Well, yo no creo, no. That would put the fear of death in me, I know. Late on Halloween in a cemetery scene. Well, the high beams dance so far down the street. Figure dressed in white, famous lady of the night. And I felt it then, oh yes I did. So write it down for a song of love. Oh, maybe that'll please the Lord above. Well, I don't believe in all. That would put the fear of death in me, I know. I don't believe in all.
Boing.
Boing. Boing.
Chad Born Oliver. No Crayo.
Live on Heritage Radio. That's beautiful, Chad.
Very nice.
Oh, gee, thanks. Gee, thanks.
Graveyard Kids, we hardly knew ye.
We hardly knew ye.
What's this, yet as yet unheard Graveyard Kids album going to sound like?
Let me tell you, Jimmy. Well, let me start off by saying about, I would say, a good 16 months ago, the Graveyard Kids were releasing our last album, which was called Two. Now, I wanted to name the album Lead Us Not Into Penn Station, But Deliver Us From Evil. We ended up settling on the number two Roman numeral. Anyway, that album, you know, is like a experimental, like, rock album. You know what I mean? A lot of different shit going on, but, like, definitely a lot of rock, a lot of punk rock. There's obviously some soul. You've heard the album, Jimmy. You know, yeah. It's a little confusing. There's a lot of shit going on.
Yes.
Anyway, so we released it, and then it kind of all happened at the same time. And we're thinking, you know what? We want to go R&B. We want to just say fuck it all. And we want to make smooth music to make love to, you know, shit like that. But also with the same kind of punk lens. And by that I mean we're not, you know, bowing down to any bitchy shit. You understand what I'm getting at?
You're not sucking the man's dick.
No. Certainly not sucking the man's dick.
So it's Al Green meets Billy Idol.
You're not dipping in the white china.
Yes, I like that. Al Green meets Billy Idol. That sounds lovely to me. And we picked up a girl singer. She's got a lovely voice. Kind of like, you know, she's got like some Mama Cass type shit. I'm of course referencing the Mamas and the Papas. We started writing a bunch of new songs, kind of getting the funk, you know, keeping the funky contingent in mind. And so what you're going to hear with this album, Jimmy, is there's six songs. We have one song coming out. Like I said, it's dropping soon. Basically like a soul jam. The first one's a soul jam, string quintet, led by the female vocalist. I come in two-thirds of the way through with my own verse. But I also sing on the choruses, so you're going to hear a little bit of the big spliff throughout. That being said, I wrote the song, but it's actually, the lyrics are all stolen from this song from the 60s called Take Me Back by Humble Pie. Of course, Peter Frampton, one of my main guys. Anyway, that song has received some nice recognition, so looking forward to dropping that one. And then we got...
You know what they say?
What?
Artists...
Good artists borrow, great artists steal.
Yeah.
I'm quite aware, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But who steals from Frampton?
Yeah. Your boy does, okay? Your boy does. And then we got another one. We got a song called Magic that's going to be on there. That shit is like, it's basically like, it's like a kind of like Steely Dan meets like Black Street, like kind of like call and response. Like, it's sort of,
I think I know. Now, from that description, yeah. I know which song.
Yeah, it's got
a good description.
Yeah, and then there's another one. We got another song called People Always Throw Away Nice Things. That song is like a post-punk shenanigans, like completely like dissonant, like absolute insanity. And that one is like definitely breaks the fuck out of the mold. And then we got a song called Snake Eyes and a Six, which is like probably the sultriest number I've ever personally cranked out. That one, it, you know, tends to slay. That's got some like really nice three-part harmonies on there, which we're gonna be, you know, having fun with. We got the song called End of the World, which we heard on the radio once before from Jordan and Liza. That's got a little bit of that My Bloody Valentine kind of, you know, but a little bit more broken down, simple chords, nice and melodic. And then finally we got a song called From the Chambers to St. Peter, which is like got this like kind of synthy electric piano with like a Latin groove, and then there's this one part where, you know, it kind of rocks. So it's also a little bit like Austin Powers. So I think I've given you a pretty cohesive feel.
Groovy, baby.
I think I've given you a pretty cohesive feel for that.
Can't wait to hear it.
I threw a lot of shit at you right now. Just then.
I think we all need a moment for our brains to settle, just kind of saturated with all that information. We need a moment to take it all in. So we're going to set Jamie Fry up with the guitar and listen to another song. This is Expat.
Expat, do you smell what I'm stepping on?
is inside. The box is black as river night. She stumbles through rows of seats and finds a place to meet the screen. Before her, the film unreels, illuminating what she feels. It's realer than the seat outside. A mirror infecting her life. She glides through her days as though her dreams did not yet fade. From the vision where the film's gray high has built a haze over her eyes. Now this song she sings are only ones that play beneath the silver light of her consubstantial days.
We're going to take you back to your mother's prom. We're going to take you to your mother and father having a smooch on the lips and saying, hey, you want to go smoke some cigarettes in the parking lot in my Model T? That was horrible. All right, Jamie, hit us with a boing, all right?
Boing!
Boing!
All right, here's a new tune. This thing is in the way.
We got a little chord action. Okay, here we go.
One, a two, a one, two, three, four, whoa. 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 When I feel sad and lonely, when I want to get real stoned in, forget what's bothering me, have some real good company. Walk down the street to your house, open up and ring the bell. You come out and let me in, and all my suffering. Yeah, we hang out with your dog, listen to your favorite rap song. Let's roll another spliff, tell about all your problems. Tell me all your favorite stories, conversation ever boring. Hey, can you pass that lighter? Secretly, my heart's on fire. Being around you gets me high, and we get high together. We get high together. Being around you makes me die, and we get high together. We get high together. Shoo-doo-be-wop, 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 shoo-doo-be-wop. Yeah, we get along so well, no one else could ever tell. Wanna tell you I adore ya, what am I waiting for ya? God, I'm such a stupid wimp. Maybe I'm too high to think. Do you think she'll understand? God, I almost touched your hand, yeah. Being around you gets me high, and we get high together. We get high together. Being around you makes me high. together. We get high together, yeah. It's almost like I know you forever, but I don't know you that well. I've been thinking so much about you, I wonder if you can tell. And I'll tell you one thing, baby, coming up someday, maybe, gonna tell you how I feel. Tell you that my love is real. Hanging out in your apartment, that's how the whole thing started. Don't you know, dying for you. Can I just be your boyfriend? Take you wherever you wanna go. Teach me everything that you know. Listen to your favorite song. Hanging out with your dog. Life don't have to be so tragic. We could have a little magic. Do I even have a point? Should we roll another joint chair? Being all ratchet gets me high, 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 and we get high together. We get high together. I wanna stay till I die, and we get high together. We get high together. We get high together.
Should be wop,